This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
Starts with me, ends with Tomo.
Yeah, Rob, you gotta get on me, Tomo.
Seriously.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 76 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
Hey, Josiah, what did you have for dinner last night?
A tiny burro?
I'd also like to ask you, what does your family do that you don't think other families do?
We do some synchronized swimming routines. It's kind of weird, but, family traditions and all.
You know, I already know these. You know why?
Why do you know this?
Because I'm involved in the world of Miitomo.
Oh, God.
Rob, you need to join.
No.
Where else can you hear this kind of hilarious banter?
I don't want this banter.
Synchronized swimming.
Joking aside, I mean, it's a cheesy game. So Miitomo is the first, quote-unquote, official app from Nintendo on Android and iOS.
Taken over two-thirds of this podcast.
But it's kind of ingenious.
Rob looks so depressed.
Like, when they talked about it the first time, when they gave some details, I was like, this is going to be so stupid. And it is, but it's awesome at the same time.
Is it, though?
It is. Because Japan has this this kind of subculture of certain individuals who... there's an actual word for them, I forget. But people who just don't go outside. They have huge problems making social connections to real people.
And this is going to help.
Well, it's a way to have conversations with people. And
from the phone.
You sound, Rob, you sound so old right now.
Yeah.
You're playing with friends on the internet.
I want to just point out the fact that what I'm waiting for right now is a headset that will let me shut out everyone.
But yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I have three different ninja outfits.
Yeah. A lot of them have to do with cats. If you like cats, it's good for that. And I think it's cool. It asks you, unique questions. They're simple questions, but it's fun. I think one thing Josiah and I both have, the problem we both have is we don't have enough friends on there, so we don't really have that many people to comment on. But it's still fun, nonetheless.
I've been inundated with... me selfies. I don't know how else to put this.
Me photos, okay?
Me photos? Me photos. Oh, okay. Yeah, that involved both of you in cat/ninja suits and other... you were a hot dog, Sean?
I was a hot dog.
Yeah, that's what I thought. This is my life now.
Yeah. It's pretty close to real life. I mean, when I get home, that's what I put on my cat outfit.
Sure, sure.
I once expressed my love, while I was in the hot dog suit, I expressed my love for onions and garlic. And one of my friends commented, I hate garlic and onions. And another person commented, the hot dog man would be nothing without onions. And that's Miitomo.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell.
So let's move into similar topics. So what do you guys think of hot dogs? So Tesla's a real company. Tesla recently... I'm on this streak of great transitions. Sorry,
yeah,
I got to keep it going.
You had two different transitions.
I don't even remember what
they
are. They're so far in the past. But yeah. So recently, Tesla unveiled the car that they've been wanting to make. This is supposed to be the car. This is supposedly why Elon Musk created Tesla. This is what he wanted to do. It's the Model 3.
Their whole game plan was to build high-end cars so that they get enough money to produce this every man car or every person car now.
So the Model 3 is a smaller sedan. It's smaller than the Model S and definitely smaller than the Model X. The bigger point is that it's relatively reasonably priced.
Starting at
35,000.
That's I think after the government rebate.
Oh, is it after?
That's after?
I think so.
Oh, I thought
we'll
that
was have
before.
To check. Yeah, I thought it was before, but we'll see. Elon actually said that with options, he expects the average price will be around $42,000. But still, it's not the $130,000 of the Model X, which, I mean, these are just relative numbers. But you're looking at like a higher end, the low end of a high-end car. So you're looking at a 3 Series BMW, like a C-Class Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And they unveiled this about 218 miles to the charge, which
that's
is,
good.
Yeah, that's really good.
How does
good,
that compare to the X?
Well, I don't know the X. I think the S is 300. Obviously, it also, so they, which I'm happy about, they put minimum numbers. They, so you could potentially, with the way you drive, you could get more. But let me see. It's still good when you think of in terms of trips you're going to do. You're probably, outside of actual full trips to places, you're not going to be driving even close to 200 miles in a day.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a...
Unless you're Josiah commuting.
Yeah. So it's an electric car that I could actually commute with. I could do my current commute with it. And you know, if I had a charger at home or something like that, it'd be fine. So...
Oh, sorry, quick thing. So the lower, the smaller battery Model S is 240 miles, and the bigger battery is, well, depending on what rating agency you use, it's either 265 miles or 310. But so it's close to there. It's not quite up there, but it's, yeah. I mean, for this price, you're expecting it that.
Yeah, and you know what Rob just said, the bigger point is that most people could do their daily commute with this easily and not have any... range anxiety, so
which has been one of the biggest things. I mean, I'd still love, I think, I don't know if there's a, you know, a golden number or anything like that, but at least I think a lot of cars, gasoline powered cars, smaller sedans, can get around high 300s to low 400 miles per a full tank. So so that would, but I mean, these are all just really, you want to look at what your driving usage is. I mean, most people aren't going to be commuting more than 20-30 miles a day. Well, maybe at least one way 20-30 miles, so that's going to last you a few days at minimum. So I think the range is pretty good.
What's the barrier to have, at least, how expensive is it to have some kind of like home charging situation? Like, is that common with people who own these cars?
So the like, you mean to install the charging and
everything? Yeah, to be able to charge from my house.
I don't recall exactly, but I think it's, you know, probably, I'm going to say around $3,000 or something to install a charging station. But other than that, I mean, it just comes off of your
electricity bill. Yeah.
And it's much cheaper than what you'd pay in gas to fuel up the car.
Yeah, cool. I mean, overall, you're still going to be saving a lot, and there's a lot of things to talk about with this car. One thing, I mean, there's the look. What do you guys think of how it looks?
I wasn't blown away by the looks. I thought they were like okay, not ugly, but just not it didn't grab me either. The interesting thing, and I don't know if this is going to stay in the final model. So that, you know, in the front area for a car, there's typically a grill.
Yeah, and that's a big
thing with a lot of different cars. Like, you can tell what brand or make of car you're looking at by looking at the grill, right?
Yeah,
like Mazda
yes.
has a very specific grill, and Fords have a very specific grill across all their different cars. And so the grill, quote unquote grill, on the Model 3 is solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sean and I were talking about it. It's kind of weird looking at first.
It is. Yeah. It's definitely unusual. And we should mention, I mean, I believe the Model S, it has a type of grill. It's not flat in the way the Model 3 is. And I think the Model X has one too. So it is very alien looking at first because you're just so used to. Now, I mean, for those who don't know, it doesn't need a grill because it has no air intake.
No airflow.
Yeah. But it's an interesting choice. It definitely changes the look of the car. I think... it's something to get used to. I'm kind of with you on it. I like it, but I'm not blown away by it. But I think, you know, looking at that price range, it's still a good-looking car. And we'll get into it later. You know, there's other competition that I think it looks a lot better than. But it looks like a... I think they did a good job of mixing sporty and sedan look, because it definitely has a bit more of a sporty look, but it's not so far gone that you feel like this is, you know, they first started it with the, I forgot what they called it, but it was a clone of a Lotus. And that was, you know, the Roadster, the Tesla Roadster. And that was a Lotus. I mean, it looked like a fast car. It looked like that, even though it was really small. This definitely does a good job of mixing both things. So I'm still... happy about the look. Also, there are a lot of unique features. One of them, I think they borrowed it from the Model X. They have that long windshield that goes across the whole top. Like, it's obviously in front of you, and then it goes across the top, which apparently, I mean, I've obviously never been in it, but it makes it a much more immersive experience. They're coming with VR helmets. So
You feel like you're in a car.
Yeah. It actually comes free with Google Plastic.
But I did hear that it's not a single pane of glass.
I heard that too. Yeah, they think it might be two. This brings up a lot of interesting points though too, because I mean, as strong as a windshield is, there are road hazards, so I assume people are going to get chips at some point. And that's a little scary, thinking that I assume maybe this is part of the reason why they think there might be two panes of glass. But if you had to replace that windshield, I can't imagine the cost, never mind safety. You probably are going to have that replaced, because if there's a crack, that's very different from having just the front windshield, even though it's not safe to have your front windshield cracked.
I just looked it up. That $35,000 is before incentives.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Pretty good. There are a lot of complicated things. There's so many things to get into with this car. So one complicated thing, and I, full disclosure, I don't actually totally understand how this works, but my understanding was the incentive for electric cars was a certain, it was, I don't know, like $6,000, $8,000, but there was a limit that if the manufacturer sold more than X amount of cars, that the rebate would no longer apply to those past that. But I've heard complicated things about it. Some people saying there's ways to get around that. And the thing is, I don't know off the top of my head, but I think the rebate was set at something like 200,000 cars. Now, Elon Musk has been tweeting live pre-sale numbers. Now, so many things to talk about with this car. We should mention, there are pre-orders. Yeah, there's pre-orders.
It's not coming out
till
the end of next year, I think.
That's
right?
When, I think, is that when it comes out or production starts? Either way, the Model X was supposed to come out like 2 years ago, and they just started like talking about it recently. So we don't really know when this car is going to come out. But in terms of pre-orders, you had to put $1,000 down, which isn't that much, but they've had close to, I believe, 300,000 pre-orders. That's something like $15 billion, I think, like that. If everybody buys it, and if they buy it at that 42,000 range that Elon Musk is assuming.
Yep.
It's crazy. I've been reading all kinds of numbers about their sales. Apparently, I believe I read this correctly, that just in down payments, that $1,000 down payment. So if there's 300,000, that's if there's 300,000 sales, that's $300 million they have. That is more than BMW made on the 3 Series last year, and more than Mercedes made on the C-Class last year.
That's crazy.
And obviously the billions, I mean, no car company is that quickly made that kind of money. But this is how excited people are about this car.
I think people did that before they saw the car, too.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's the power. I mean,
it's insane.
If there was any brand to compare to Apple, this would be it. This is something. I mean, one very big difference is that, you know, there are only 3 cars, and this is something. It's uncharted waters in a way.
Apple was like that with
at first, I feel like people are still excited to pre-order the iPhone 7 sedan scene, even if it somehow turns out to be like, you know, 6SS. The Tesla Model 3 is something completely different, and people are just ready to put their money down onto it. So with price, I think it could come down a little bit. It's relatively reasonable. You're looking at, you know, the lower end of high-end cars, and I like the range on it. I like the look. It would definitely, it's also very fast. It's 0 to 60. Now, with any electric car, they're pretty fast because they don't have that lag time between hitting the pedal.
You don't have to rev. You got all your torque right up front.
I've actually, I watch Top Gear a lot, and I've seen a number of supercars that are hybrids for that reason, because off the line, it's absurd. So you're getting a really fast car, and Elon Musk even said that. So we're looking at all these things, and another interesting point is that I didn't watch the keynote, but my understanding is his keynote was heavily focused on the environment, and Elon has plenty of money. When he sold PayPal, he had plenty of money, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure he still likes making money. Nobody is against making money, but he's gone into two ventures that are not traditionally seen as money making. They're pretty much sinkholes. He's SpaceX, which, by the way, they just landed.
Big announcement.
They just landed their first rocket in the water, recently.
A platform in the water.
On a platform. Yeah,
they've
just went underwater.
The Hyperloop,
it's a submarine.
The Hyperloop project too, which I think is starting construction.
God,
right?
He's not really funding that. He's not doing the manufacturing.
He's just behind the design of it.
Open source the design.
Oh, I got it.
And two different companies have started trying to.
4chan is building it. Yeah. Because he open sourced it. But anyway, that's SpaceX for another time and Hyperloop. But anyway, he talked
a lot. Time and space.
Mars. he opened up and he talked specifically about climate change, and it feels like this is a big element of what he wants to do. And this is why this car is so important. The Model S still sells decently well. I'm sure the X had decent pre-orders, but this is the car that'll make people feel comfortable about driving an electric car. It's affordable enough that people, and they might kind of like the iPhone, might be willing to spend a little bit more, even if it's outside mm-hmm. their normal budget.
Like you said, you compared it to some BMWs and Mercedes and maybe a Lexus and stuff like that. So, you know, it's clearly not quite an every person car.
Sure.
Because I've never paid for a car over $25,000. And, you know, I've bought new cars.
Hashtag not a baller yet.
Not a baller.
I mean, that $6,000 incentive, though, brings it closer to that, though.
Yeah, but it's still.
It's still not. But it'd be interesting if they come out with another car after this, right? With all of this money that they're making from this, I would imagine he wants to keep pushing that lower and lower.
That's the idea, and really, you know, the big piece is the battery factory that he's trying to push out, and the other part of it though is that cost of ownership is still quite high, right? Because it's not even just okay, $35,000, but I bump it up to $42,000 with the right packages, and then I subtract $6,000 from that, but I still have to have a installation of a charger in my house and stuff like
which,
that.
Which, by the way, I did a quick.
By the way, I have to have a house with a garage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, cost of ownership is actually not necessarily every middle class family.
Yeah, I don't even know how it'll work in cities. One thing related to that, they also have plans to double the number of superchargers they have worldwide. And they do have a very high number of superchargers, I think heavily focused on the coast. But even, you know, I was listening to a podcast and he was in Houston, Texas, which is, you know, the center of the oil industry. And there are a lot of superchargers all over Houston.
Yeah, I'm looking at their map. They have a pretty good distribution across the country. There's a lot in California, but you know, you look at a few major highways that go across the country, the U.S., and then all along the East Coast as well. And there is a high concentration in the New England area where we record this podcast.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think it points out that it's still something you have to think about when you're driving the car. You have to make sure you can get to another station. Wow, yeah, there is a high focus.
Yeah.
But it's far more reasonable, and you can plan your trips around that even if you're going a further distance.
Right.
It's a little complicated. My understanding is in order to charge it up to 80%, it's somewhere around 25 to 30 minutes, so you're probably going to have to take a break.
Yeah, it's more like a rest stop.
Yeah.
You stop and grab some food while the car's charged and stuff like that.
But yeah, it just change your routine. But these are the kind of things that, I mean, I don't think it's a huge sacrifice to have that extra 30 minutes if you're going that far. Day to day, you could probably charge it overnight if you have a home station.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a car that could be something you want. And I know you were saying, Josiah, that it's still out of your price range, but it could potentially be. Although I will say, when I compare it to an iPhone, the scale of price is very different. Like you're saying, thousands of dollars more rather than spending $300 more.
Right.
But there is a thing where you might be able to think, hey, maybe I'll save up for this rather than just figuring out. I don't know. I assume you can't haggle for a Model 3, but we'll have to see. But the other thing I want to talk about, there's so many elements to this. The dashboard.
Yeah.
So there there are no dials. I am not kidding you. And I don't think they've said, just how you were saying this before we started, that some of the things they said are not final.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to change, because I think they knew this was going to be a big part of the unveil. And there are literally zero dials. They just have a large tablet-looking device in the center of the console. So, or I guess the center of the main dash.
Yeah. So in their current models, they have a 17-inch portrait view panel. And in this one, it's going to be a 15-inch landscape view panel that has all the information. So your MPG and all that stuff, and your current torque, your battery. Your battery life.
Oh,
how many kilowatt hours left you have and stuff like that. And then obviously your GPS and entertainment system and stuff like that. And one of the things about it being right there in the middle is if they start to have more global sales, they just shift the steering wheel.
Connection
by wire. So, you know, it's really, really cheap for them to make this internationally.
So that changes a lot of things. I mean, before even getting into the most obvious part of it, it also changes, my understanding is, you feel closer to the front of the car.
Yeah.
So you, it sounds so silly, but you do feel more like you're on the road, especially combining like with really the windshield. Yeah. And so it's, you're closer to the windshield and you're higher up above the car. I think the ratio of like the front of the car relative to most other cars makes you feel like you're closer to the road. Yeah. And yeah.
There's no engine in the front of the car.
Yeah. Right? There's really, it's actually funny looking at pictures of an electric engine. It's so like I'm so used to a regular combustion engine that you see all this stuff in the front, and an electric car, there's basically nothing.
I will say I'm a little concerned about looking to see like how fast I'm going down and to the right like that. Like,
so that's, and we'll get into it a little bit in the next topic, but there might be a reason for that. I for a traditional driver, I don't know.
I have this little stand for my phone, and it's kind of off to the side, right? So anytime I get in the car, I put my phone in that stand, and if I'm using Waze or whatever for GPS, I'm looking over there. So it's not,
he's looking terrible. Over at the Mitomo app every while he's driving.
You know, it's not terrible to look to the center panel, and that's where your entertainment system is, regardless of whatever. I know it's in most cases a physical touch panel, but it's not terrible. And you don't have to look at it for hours at a time.
No, that's definitely true. Glance. Right. But I just think, I don't know, for me, and maybe it's just because I'm conditioned, obviously, to look down real quick to check speed or whatever it is. I would like to see, I still want to see in cars more of like a windshield projection where even if it was just, like some kind of HUD that just showed, you know, how fast I was going. And
maybe that's a company we don't know about. He has an AR company.
Well, you said there's a part two reveal of this, right?
Well, yeah. So let's jump into that because Sean and I are kind of tag teaming the first two topics here. So,
watch out, Elon.
That's how you transition.
And so, the thing I wanted to talk about is the potential for autopilot, or obviously, you know, self-driving cars, right? So, the current models out there from Tesla have this kind of autopilot feature, and the way they've been pushing out new features, a lot of them are through software, right? So They kind of hinted, I didn't watch the entire keynote myself, but from what I hear, they talked about the possibility of autopilot for this car as well, right? Because, you know, with the pricing being so low, some people were concerned, like, what are they cutting out of it? And so that means it's going to have the hardware, the cameras and whatever LiDAR that they might be using, that sort of thing. It's going to have the hardware, but it's going to be an option, which means you have to download the software. And so, like I said, Tesla has done this before in the past. They've done like the ludicrous speed download, which, you know, you can get to 0 to 60 in -2 seconds and something like that. And
you can't actually go lower than 60 miles an hour.
It's like, oh, wait, like I'm over 60.
Speed, yeah.
So they've got this model of downloading and paying, you know, and you're paying like $2,000-$3,000 for software because it's drastically changing the performance of your car. Well, my question is, will they actually, so when they release autopilot mode for this car, partly because it's cheaper, but also because it ties into this other concept, which I'll bring up, will they make it software as a service, right? Mm. So will it be a subscription to have the autopilot feature versus a one-time paid download? So again, that would give them more potential to make their money back on the software. But also, I've talked about this before, I have this theory that if you have a self-driving car, the big question is liability. Who's liable for that? Now, some of the car companies have already come out and said, like Volvo a few months ago said they would be liable, but they don't have a commercial product out.
Right.
So it's easy for them to say they'd be liable. But when you have car companies being liable for any accidents based on their software and their hardware, now it shifts it to, well, how do they insure themselves, right? So if you had a software as service autopilot, then effectively you're paying insurance to the car company that made your car. So what do you guys think? Am I crazy? Am I missing the mark here?
So I've heard a lot of things about this. This even in general as having autopilot as a service, and it's an interesting business model idea. And I like the idea. It seems like it could be a killer feature. So this could be something that people would pay extra for, and I could definitely see people wanting to do. I never actually thought about the insurance aspect, but these are all elements that have to be thought of. Like, I don't know. I mean, even outside of the legal precedent for who's at fault, just thinking of, yeah, how you insure it is something interesting. One fear I have is a situation where State Farm has to change their update. It's like Android, where you have to wait for an update because, like, the State Farm version, where farms pop up on your screen all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know how the system would go through that, but that would definitely be interesting if they insured the car themselves or some kind of system where they work with somebody. I could definitely see autopilot as a service because that would be something. Well, who knows how much it costs, but that would be something worth paying for.
But I mean, if you bundle it into your insurance, right? So, you know, what I think I don't pay it per month, but I think, you know, if you look at the semi-annual billing that I have, I think it's close to $100 a month.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So you say, okay, your car payment would be instead of $400, $500 a month, your car payment would be $650 a month, and that includes access to autopilot and insurance. And then once you've paid off the car, you keep paying $150 a month or something like that for your car.
And if insurance is built in, I think they'll also, I would assume there's going to be a lot more data hooks in that they will know if you get into an accident.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Because you cannot report, you cannot claim, you can do whatever you want in an accident. I mean, if you want to pay it or you know a mechanic, you don't have to go through your insurance company, I would assume. And also, maybe rates will be far more variable because if they want to, they can know a lot more about what you're doing.
Well, I think it would actually... So the rates could almost be variable in the sense like Uber has surge pricing, right? Like they could do a per... second rate for when you're actually driving the car, and the rate could be cheaper when you have autopilot on.
Because presumably it's a better driver.
Because it's safer, right? Hmm. And so, and that still would work even if autopilot couldn't do all of my driving, right? So, like, okay, I'm being charged the higher rate for real person driving when I'm in the city and I have to drive myself. But when I get on the highway and I can finally click on autopilot, then my rates drop, you know? So it's, I think because of the data that they'd have, they would have much better models for figuring out the costs of insurance and it would actually be cheaper and they'd probably be able to make more money off of the insurance. And then on top of that, you would want to be able to control the whole system, right? Because if I'm going to be liable, then I want to know everything about that system. I wouldn't want necessarily State Farm or Prudential or whomever else to come in and say, oh, well, install our app and we'll take care of it, because it starts to complicate the systems. You, like you said, jokingly, but there's some truth to it, Sean, as far as like the software updates and stuff like that. I wouldn't want my car, you know, if I were Tesla or even Chevy or whomever, to be subject to that.
And so I don't know. I think it may be, at first glance, it sounds a little far-fetched, but I can really see this being the model moving forward, because the other piece is, and we've talked about it in the past, how do you get people comfortable with the idea of self-driving cars, right? And one way to do that is to say, well, we'll take the liability. But you can't just take the liability with no, the car company can't take the liability without any remuneration for that, right?
Yeah,
it's almost like
it's too much.
Pets.com in the 90s saying, oh, there's no shipping. We'll just ship dog food to you whenever you want. And ultimately, they went out of business because they couldn't pay for everything, right?
So I know, just you brought up an interesting point, though, and just how much data that they'll be able to collect on driving habits, right? How do you, because you're big on privacy and, you know, not letting companies see certain things, how do you feel about them knowing exactly how, you know, safe you drive, I guess?
I don't really care about how safe I
and
drive.
And where you're going, too.
That's the bigger thing.
Right.
They'll know where I'm going, when I'm going, and they will need to have basically end-to-end encryption on that, as far as I'm concerned. And they will I don't know if I'd wait for some big court case to come into the public eye or public view, but that would be kind of the next big privacy trial, right? We still have some fallout from this whole iPhone thing, mm-hmm. and we talked about the idea of phones being such a personal piece of information or an extension of ourselves almost. Well, because of the way the U.S. is spread out and our communities are built, cars are like the next big thing. And as they become more computerized, that's a big piece of it, right? It's like, who knows where I'm going, when I'm going there, and all that stuff.
Yeah. So. And this is already happening with Uber. And it's a little different because the passenger doesn't own the vehicle that they're being driven in. But Uber, definitely, there have been a lot of leaks them talking about this God mode function that they have. Yeah. And they see, yeah. they have tracked individuals where they're going.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a little different because they don't own the car. They're being driven somewhere. So, I mean, I guess the New York taxi cab service could track their taxis. But it's still, yeah, these are big questions about privacy. The other thing, you were started talking about people getting more comfortable self-driving. I was actually thinking just now, you made a good point that, like, maybe say you live in the city and you're going on a trip. When you're in the city, you might want to drive yourself just because it's more complicated. There's more situations where you can get into an accident. But it's when you're on the highway, perfect time to turn on autopilot. It'll figure it out for you. It's yeah. relatively easy, something that you can just let the car do for you. But I've seen concepts where, you know, you hit autopilot and then the chair swivels around and then you can just do whatever you want. But seriously, what, you know, what are you going to be doing as a driver? Miitomo
comes full screen on the...
Yeah, exactly. But, like, you know, you're going to be sitting there and I guess you could watch the road, but in a weird way, I mean, I know we already have cruise control, but it would almost feel boring if the car right. is doing everything for you. Yeah. Do you want to have your hands on the wheel?
I mean, I would... the first few times I used it, like, yes, I would yes, definitely be course. Pretty freaked out. I think after that, I don't know. Because, you know, I don't have long commutes now anyway. Like, I only commute 15 minutes. So, like, it's very rare. Like, even, I guess, if I'm driving to see my parents, like, it's 15 minutes on the highway.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess I could read something. Or I'd probably just be... Like, to be honest, like, it's not enough time for me to be like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to take out my computer and type notes up for something. Like, it'd probably just be me listening, just, like, you know, looking around and...
No, I think it, I mean, it would take a little time for people to get comfortable with it, but I totally see it becoming something similar to like a second screen, right? So if you're watching soccer, football, you're probably still on your phone, right? So
sometimes, depending on the game.
Yeah, tweeting shots and stuff like that and whatever, you know? And I can see a lot of people easily sliding into that after the first few months of them using it personally and after the first few months of it being available on the roads. And, you know, it's just kind of like when I watch even when I watch a movie on Netflix or something, I'm still playing Marvel Puzzle Quest. So, well, Miitomo, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. But
well, he's on Miitomo talking about Marvel Puzzle Quest.
Yeah, so, you know, checking the news or whatever it might be. So I could totally see people sliding into that very quickly. And then eventually, you know, the law will have to be on your side. But yeah, I could see people totally swiveling their chair around and just having a conversation and it's almost like sitting on a bus.
Well, I wonder, yeah, with all these current Teslas, they don't have that functionality. And I would argue, I would think the driver's seat is probably the most uncomfortable seat in a car because there's pedals, the steering wheel, there's just so many things in your way. And I don't know how autopilot works, but like one thing, cruise control, I believe any car, if you hit the brake, it's going to cancel cruise control. I don't know if there's a simple way to cancel autopilot in the Tesla, but I could see a situation where you're almost a little afraid that you might hit a pedal or something. Yeah. And that's versus sitting in a passenger seat. Or I believe the Google car is just built where there's no steering wheel, right? Like, yeah. They probably had both models, but that's completely different paradigm where you're just not even thinking.
Right.
And so that's what I wonder. These cars will have autopilot, and who knows, they might build out different things in the future, but I wonder if it'll be weird as a driver. You're just going to feel like you should be pretending to drive. Mm-hmm. They'll give you a fake steering wheel. You'll get like a toy steering wheel, like from that little car. Yeah.
To make the noises.
I mean, I think people who are interested in it as a product will get comfortable with it very quickly. As soon as, you know, it goes through the legal hurdles and the obvious testing and the liability stuff. I think people will get comfortable with it very quickly if you bought that car for that reason. But like if, you know, if it's like, okay, I bought this for my parents who are, you know, in their 60s or 70s or whatever, they're going to be resistant, and it would be a fight or a battle to say, Dad, just use the autopilot. That's what I got it for, right? Like that probably wouldn't happen. But for people who want the car themselves, I think, you know, it's going to be an expense, and a large enough expense, I think, that you'll want to use it. You know, that's the attracting feature.
So would you guys, if you had a Tesla right now, and let's say same income bracket right now, would you want to buy, considering your situations, would you want to buy?
I think I'd need a promotion. I don't know. I'd have to look. I'd never bought a new car anyway. It's not like cars have never been, except for the NSX, I've never been so attracted to a piece of machine, but a piece of machine.
That's a great piece of machine.
I think where I'm at right now, I'd have to look at the payments. I don't know that I'd be interested in buying any new car, really.
Let's just say it's $100 a month. I'm throwing it completely out there, and let's say you can already...
I don't know. I'd want to see the car in person. I'm not... From the pictures, I'm not crazy about the design.
Not even the Model 3, because that gets into complications about, it's still a significant price. Just autopilot? For your life, would you... And it's funny, because so, for those who don't know, Rob and Josiah have very different commutes.
Right. Yeah. So, like I said, I mean, it's only... I don't know, a few times a month that I'm driving more than 20 minutes in the car at any given time.
No,
so
right?
So I don't think I would pay $100.
Yeah. You'd
would
probably
I like
try
that
for a month.
Yeah. Would I like that in my car? Yeah, absolutely. Or like if I was going on a long trip, like could I have the option to just use it for a week or something like that? Then maybe. Software, if I was driving down to Jersey and had to spend 4 hours in the car, that'd be awesome.
I'm just imagining the subscription running out while it's driving asleep, ending in 4 seconds.
It's something I definitely want to try. Definitely something I'd have to get used to, I think. Not something that I would pay $100 a month for right now.
Just that?
I've said this before that to me, really, the whole point of driverless cars, self-driving cars, is so I don't have to own a car. So it'd be more like I'd pay into a subscription to almost like a Zipcar, right? So I'd pay into a subscription and then pay per mile or something when I get in the car. Or there might be a larger subscription package that's a flat rate or something like that. So, to pay a software subscription on top of my car already, I'd probably be less likely to do that because I'd rather just be done with car ownership altogether and just rent it and call it when I need it. So, you know, wake up in the morning and get in my shower. And then as I get out of the shower and getting dressed, I'm like, okay, I'll be done in 10 minutes. Car shows up, no driver, hop in and go to work. And when I'm about to finish work, okay, I'm going to be done in 10 minutes, walk to the sidewalk, don't have to go to the back parking lot, all that stuff. It's just
done. That would cut my walking to the parking lot in half.
I know.
So you probably can't hear this on the podcast, but Josiah's car outside is crying. What did I do? I think right now for me, with this car, with the Teslas, even if I could afford it, I don't think I would get it. I still, for me, kind of, if I'm doing driverless, I kind of want all in. I actually like driving, so I would be okay with driving right now, and the feeling like I would probably buy it just to screw with everybody on the highway, where I would just move out of the driver's seat and sit in the passenger seat. Like, wait, why is he doing Sudoku? What the hell is going on?
Put a dog there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you could moon so many people.
Yeah, but I don't think I would buy it. I think I would probably want to go a little more in like the Google car idea, possibly, or like Josiah's saying, just get rid of car ownership altogether.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the change-up, which is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commodus website and clicking on the banner. Sean, what are you buying this week from Green Man Gaming?
I might be using something. Dark Souls 3, the Deluxe Edition. They're doing a pretty good sale.
Not the board game, though.
Not the board game. No. So the Deluxe Edition actually has a pretty good sale on Green Man Gaming, and you can get 20% off with our banner ad.
Yes,
so
be sure to check that out.
I actually calculated it out, and... it's the deluxe edition is $4 more than the regular edition with the discount. So
it's good.
Wow.
Get it.
Yeah.
So the change up this week is hybrid or electric. Are you thinking about it? Do you own one? Would you get one? Tesla 3? Are you on the way? It's scheduled to come out at the end of next year.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So production.
Tentatively.
Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, you guys are looking at me because I'm the one who drives the most. You know, because of my long commute, and obviously I'm trying to get rid of this long commute, but that has some expense in it of itself. But yeah, I think my concern with the long commute is range. And right now, Teslas do have the range that I would need, but the cost of ownership, as we just discussed, is pretty high, and I don't have a place to charge it at home. I have a condo with a parking lot out in the open, so you know I couldn't charge it very easily. So in that case, you know, maybe a hybrid, but still hybrids need to be charged unless you're going to gas them up and use a like the what is it, the Chevy Volt and the Chevy Bolt coming out soon, where you can effectively recharge them with the gas engine, but then you're losing a lot of efficiency.
I thought the Bolt is all electric, no? Oh, it's a hybrid?
No, it's exactly the same as the Bolt. As the Volt.
Oh, okay. So like the first set of miles it'll do. Okay.
It's got a fairly decent range, you know, maybe 80 plus miles on electric, and then it's got a gas generator to recharge it as you're driving and as you get low range, low battery power. So right now I'd have to say neither, but if I could choose,
he's buying a big truck.
You know, if I could
Escalade.
Choose my lifestyle, I would definitely go electric, and like I said, not even own it if it's self-driving.
So for me right now, I think electric cars, I mean, Tesla is just burning their own trail, but I think that it's still a little too early. The whole industry is a little nascent and they're still figuring things out. So I would probably go with a hybrid right now. The only problem is, Toyota just recently announced the Prius Prime, which is their new car. So I could have sworn
something
like... Does
it transform?
Oh my God, that's what would sell it for me. Transforms into a better looking car.
It's
God,
a Gundam.
All Priuses look so darn ugly. That honestly is one thing that would really push me away. It wouldn't be the you know, be all and end all, but man, it definitely looks better than the older Priuses, but I don't like the way it looks. But it's something like 120 miles to the gallon, so you never really
that's
have
insane.
To deal with you don't have to deal with range anxiety because
that's
you're
so ridiculous.
You know, gas stations are everywhere.
That's four times mine.
But again, it's a plug-in hybrid, so you should be charging it overnight.
Oh, this one's a plug-in hybrid? Maybe I got...
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Oh, you're right. It is a plug-in hybrid. Either way, so right now, my money would probably be on hybrids for now until the electric market builds out a little bit more. But, I mean, the Model 3 looks so appealing.
Yeah, like I said, I'd want to see it in person, I think. Like, there's still some weird, you know, look to it with the, you know, no grill and things like that I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. It's no head of sex, let's put it that way. Let's be real, that's the car that I want. I don't know. I like the idea of an electric car, and I think, you know, with I haven't, you know, spent the time to actually look at a map to see where charging stations are around here. Like, I have the convenience of
There's
a
one
gas
down the street, right?
Is
here?
There?
No, I'm messing with
No, I think there might be, though. I think there is one.
Your neighbor's
like,
house
half
is
mile away. So, like, you know, those kind of things I'd want to see, like, you know, on my frequent trips that I go on, you know, what that map looks like. But I'm all for it, man. It's just a matter of price at this point. And
yeah, there's a supercharger in West Hartford. Not to give away exactly where.
Oh, no, they know now.
Now they know. But New Britain Avenue, there's one not that far. I mean, it's still not next door. It's not
a gas station,
but it's very
like
close.
I think if I was going to do that, I definitely want a charging station at my house, but, you know, since I have a garage anyway.
Oh, it's right outside the mall.
Oh, that makes sense.
I haven't that actually seen that.
Well, then that'd be annoying to have to go and do that there, though, with all the people
it's
there.
It's behind Red Robin. I don't know why. Get your burgers. Well, it sort of works. I guess you can charge your car and get a burger or
something
like that.
Yeah, that's
going to
make me fat.
But, yeah.
So I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen one, like, design-wise that I like a lot enough to get. Like I said, I don't buy new cars anyway, so it's not,
Model
it's not
X,
something I think about.
It's only 130.
Yeah, yeah. So... I did like the design of that car.
Divided by 1,000,
yeah,
you could afford
it. So we'll see. So moving on to our last topic for the week. Did you know that the future is here? It is here. It's among us.
I hear the future is still coming as well.
Well, it's delayed. For most of us muggles still stuck in the Stone Age here, who have pre-ordered the Oculus and have not received it yet because it's been 2 weeks and apparently... they had a huge delay in shipping most of it. So I don't know if you haven't heard the show before. I love the idea of Oculus. I love trying it. I can't wait to have it.
I pre-ordered it. Like, it, I so.
Oh, I should mention. Sorry, quick thing I never told you guys. I got a Google Cardboard, so I'm already in. Yeah, I haven't set it up. Or set,
did you bring
build
it?
A little bit. No, I didn't because I didn't build it yet.
There's really that much setup involved.
There is a lot. Do you know how many full? I mean, we only have the Origami Master in the room. the other thing is I'm going to use my old phone. But yeah, I got the Google Cardboard because I just want to try it. It's $10. I'm like, screw it. Yeah, I want some kind of VR.
Does someone need to fold something?
.com. So if you haven't followed the launch of Oculus, it came out 2 weeks ago. I think it was two Thursdays ago. So actually it'll be 3 weeks ago by the time this comes out, but,
we hate Palmer Lucky now.
Well, no, so this is the thing. So I'm not a frequent Reddit user, but I found that the Reddit community has been very interesting to follow during these last couple weeks. So pre-orders have trickled out, just not in the volume that they should have been shipping in. The original people who pre-ordered got in with a March 28th release date, and almost nobody got that date.
The only one who got it was the one that Palmer hand delivered to,
yeah, to the guy in Alaska.
That's
yeah.
just it.
He was not excited enough. He didn't deserve it. So anyway, so you know, this is kind of a botched thing. They came out. They've been a little difficult with communication or lack of. And, you know, just not saying what the issue was. I know, obviously, there's probably legal issues with that, too. But it's been interesting following the trend of the mood on Reddit from people who are like, yeah, I can't wait. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. It's going to change my life, to people being like, literally getting out pitchforks within a matter of about 24 hours after launch.
Literally pitchforks?
Literally getting pitchforks. There were people,
I don't know where they got
people posted pictures on Imgur with pitchforks and the Oculus logo like impaled on.
Apparently a lot of Redditors are farmers as well.
Yeah.
And my favorite part is people commenting on that with showing screenshots of their Vive shipping,
yeah.
which is such a...
Yeah,
oh,
so
man.
So the one of the advantages that Oculus had was it was first to market by 2 weeks, I guess. And
it had name recognition.
But it's also... surprising me that
apparently it was first to pre-order.
Yeah,
that's it.
Well, well, this many people pre-ordered both, which is like $1,500,
wow.
right? Because I mean, if you pre-order a Vive now, it's like, you know, a couple months out. So this many people had already pre-ordered both, which is ridiculously surprises me. But obviously, people who are loyal to Oculus and had been following them for a while were like excited. It was going to be they were going to be the first to get it, and it was coming out before the Vive and such. There are a few things I wanted to point out that are interesting, though. In that, number one, like obviously Palmer Luckey's been the face of this. He's the founder of it. But what, over a year ago, he sold it to Facebook and
yeah.
is not the CEO of it. He is, I don't even know what his actual
role
title
is. Yeah.
is. Like, I don't know that he has one. He's kind of like the evangelist of VR now.
And apparently the UPS driver. He's man.
So it's interesting because everybody's first reaction is to just shit on Palmer Luckey and just be like, I don't know, send all this hateful stuff towards him and things like that when he literally has nothing to do with this problem, which has surprised me. The other interesting thing is, you know, this was a Kickstarter project originally, and obviously they've gone through
a
few iterations. Yeah, but I mean, they've gone through a few iterations of it. And they did a lot of good PR stuff. Like they shipped, so the Kickstarter was for the DK1, the development kit, and everyone who did that also got a free consumer version one.
Well,
launch,
they did one thing I was
which,
reading.
Which
so
is really
I mean,
good.
The Kickstarter they were only guaranteed DK one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So getting the free, I
right.
mean, it really was.
And they were still complaining about the fact that it was delayed by like a week getting it, which I'm like, come on, man, that's $600.
Yeah,
like you need to calm down. The other thing is, since that whole thing has come out, Oculus is now paying for shipping everywhere. So the shipping costs out in like Australia, I think, was like $150 on top of the 600, or I think it was higher than 600 and stuff anyway. So they're paying millions of dollars in shipping. They're just eating that cost, which I think is a pretty good move. The other thing too is Facebook, outside of the phone that they had, is not a hardware company. Actually, the phone wasn't even, I think HTC did it anyway, right? So Facebook,
yeah. They never made their own phone.
Next year, they're actually coming out with a yearbook called The Facebook. And so they are a hardware company.
So they're not a hardware company. So, like, you know, things like this get botched all the time, especially in tech. And so, like, yeah, I'm disappointed. I wish I had it. But it's been amazing to see, like, how entitled people feel
yeah.
to saying, like, okay, this is the date you said it was going to ship on. It's not here. So I'm going to cancel my pre-order and go to the Vive. And, this again, this is, like,
a 24-hour period of time where all of this mood shifted away from this.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, too, is Vive had their own issues with the launch, and like a lot of just random credit card charges got denied, so a lot of people had issues getting theirs on time.
And by the way, I love contrasting this with, we were just talking about Tesla, which announces some car that comes out in, you know, 13 years. I mean, who knows? Like, I was listening to Twit, and Leo Laporte said he pre-ordered his Model X. He put the money down, and he hasn't gotten a single email about it since, because who knows when it's actually going to be, going to be happening.
I mean, I get it. You paid, you know, $600, $800 or something. Like, it's not,
you paid $130,000. Like, you understand?
It's not cheap. Like, so I get why you're upset about that, but it's just this, like, sense of entitlement where people think that they're, like, you know,
well,
should be given certain things for a launch that, like, like, I fully understand all the logistical nightmares that go into something. Well, actually, I don't. But, like, there are all these logistical nightmares that obviously come up. And these happen all the time in all different sectors.
I think that's the biggest part of it, is that people, yeah, there's some sense of entitlement. And, you know, I paid for this, so I need it right now, and I want it right now. But the bigger thing in my mind is people think stuff gets made by magic.
Yeah.
They have no clue as to what is involved in designing and delivering a product, right? Yeah. And, you know,
by the way, that's the story of Kickstarter. Every person who starts a Kickstarter thinking that it can be manufactured out of magic.
Yeah.
And then every single thing has delays.
But that goes back to my point. It's like, how many Kickstarters actually ship on time and get delivered with their original date? Like, none of them do.
But I mean, just to prove that I'm not just an Apple fanboy, right? Like, the iPad Pro and the Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
Like, I pre-ordered. I ordered the richest company in the world. That morning, you know, so it, I guess I could have woken up, like, at 3 in the morning and ordered it. Instead, I woke up at my usual time of 4:15 in the morning and ordered it. And I ended up being able to buy the Pencil in stores before my actual pre-order arrived. And so I ended up canceling the pre-order. And even with that said, it still took me a month of going to the stores pretty much every day after work, like 3-4 times a week after work, and checking and saying, do you have this Apple Pencil? Yeah. And I went to two different stores. There was, because my commute is so long, I like went to the one close to work and I went to one close to my house. And it still took me over a month. And this is a well-known hardware company.
It's massive. Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
like, Apple doesn't get it right. Like, I don't understand.
So I have no problem hearing about, like, I mean, it's definitely disappointing when people get so excited. But to your point, Rob, like, people don't understand how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And they want to get it right. But, you know, there's so many moving parts that you can't always, quote unquote, get it right.
So I will say real quick before you jump in, Sean, is that they did come out and say that there was some kind of component shortage or something like that. So they haven't actually said what it is. And like I said, the other thing too is, you know, people are like demanding that Palmer, because he's also very vocal on Reddit too. And he does a lot of AMAs and he's very, you know, involved in the community on there. And to be honest, Reddit helped build the hype around Oculus a lot too. But, you know, people were demanding things out of him when legally, like, I'm sure Palmer can't say anything, like, especially given that he doesn't even have the title of CEO. Like, he can't
him
say
saying
anything.
As much as he did was a big deal.
Right. Because, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He, like, a lot of things, no company is going to talk about why they're having these sort, like, Apple never gave a reason about the Pencil, I don't think. Yeah, like, right. they don't need to. It is what it is. And they never also, they didn't really say that it wasn't there. You had to find it out. They're not going to announce that. But part of the reason why I wanted to contrast to Tesla, so VR clearly has uses outside of gaming, but right now the first adopters are definitely gamers. This is heavily focused on gaming. Yeah. Do you think this
and
entitlement?
IKEA.
Oh, and IKEA. Yeah, so there are other things, you can tell how it's gaming first, at least right now, because that's where it's focused.
Absolutely.
Do you think the sense of entitlement, because it's gamers versus, I mean, Tesla admittedly is a very different thing, but versus, I don't know how to put it, like, other adults. Is there some difference to that?
It's probably a much younger audience on Reddit also. Like, and I would see myself and being way more upset about this as a 16-year-old than I am as a 28-year-old.
I don't like saying that only because I don't think everybody on Reddit is 16.
A 16-year-old has $1,500 to buy both of these at the same time?
Then they probably have a sense of entitlement.
I have no sympathy for you.
I'm saying.
I actually feel like older gamers sometimes have, I shouldn't have said other adults. adults. Like I was, but I think other older gamers have more of a sense of entitlement because they're spending their own money and that's why they feel that way. One problem, it's one of the best things about Reddit and the worst thing. It's a lot of times it ends up being a mob mentality or like an organized mob mentality where Reddit is so vociferous in their thought processes that everybody starts agreeing with each other. I mean, Rob, you were saying there's this big Google Docs spreadsheet.
So I will say it's pre-order time. It's like half like mob, half support group. Yeah. So I will say like there are people who do an incredible amount of work in like keeping people updated with like all the shipments and stuff. There's this spreadsheet of like thousands of people who have their orders tracked to see when they got emails and like, you know, people figured out how to like go through the back, like through the website development, like through development tools and like figure out your exact order time, like all this random stuff. So I'm impressed by what, like the community that's come together through this.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed in, you know, how quickly people turned away. Like people who have been like Oculus has been, what was it, Kickstarted 4 years ago, five years ago? Wow. Like people have been excited for this for a long time and you can't wait two more weeks. Like, come on.
I think, like I said, I feel like sometimes with this, particularly in places like Reddit and maybe the addition of gamers, it's like one person says something that there's another, yeah, I agree with that. And then the anger just builds. And so it becomes a bigger thing and people latch onto it.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't even know why. Yeah. It's like, it's coming in 2 weeks. Admittedly, this is coming from a person who can't live without Amazon Prime because I have to have it in 2 days.
Yeah.
Shipping in a week. Yeah. What is this? But I don't know. There's like, that's a very good point. It's like you've waited this long. It's not that crazy. And this was what happens in manufacturing.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll talk about this if I get it next week, which is a big if. but I'm sure I'll talk about this more.
In the meantime, Rob, you need to buy a pitchfork.
I thought you were going to say, get me Tomo. I am going
to
say...
You can take a picture with your pitchfork to put on me Tomo.
I'm going to say I am excited to see the relatively high reviews that the press has given both the Vive and Oculus.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
For the most part, it's around that like 8 out of 10 mark, which you know, I guess...
Not tens.
We talked about numbers, you know, like how meaningful they are, but like...
They're good. They're really good.
It's very, for a first generation of like a completely new platform.
Yeah.
It's very exciting to see that people generally are still like following that hype and it's not a big disappointment. And just watching a lot of people's reaction videos are very satisfying to me. And I talked about this, like one of the best things I'm looking forward to is just showing people who have either not gamers or just not tried VR before to put this on and to experience this for themselves.
Yeah.
I genuinely love seeing people react to this.
And one other thing I just want to throw in there. Yeah. All the reviews I've seen have been pretty positive. Some of the problems are like figuring out what games you really want to play and stuff, but people have generally been very positive on both sets. One other thing I've heard a couple of people say is also how good the PlayStation VR headset is comparing the high end headset,
without
a doubt. PlayStation VR is lower, but people have actually said it's still really good. And with the price point and the fact that a lot of people already have PlayStation 4s, it's going to be really interesting. I think people are going to be talking about VR this year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's going to be the thing. I will say real quick, one of the craziest things. We're biased. One of the craziest things I saw on the whole Reddit thing, and also I've just had nothing to do because I'm waiting for VR, so I've just been following everything. so one of the craziest things is this woman posted that she wanted to get the Vive or the Rift for her boyfriend for his birthday, and I was like, wow, that's like
that's a serious
that's crazy, like that's amazing, that's like $600-$800, and it turns out she's getting the computer bundle with it.
Oh wow.
So it's like a $1,500 thing. I was like, wow, that's really impressive.
Girlfriend.
That I don't understand that, right? Because she's spending $1,500 to like never talk to her boyfriend again. Is that what she wants?
You find that out actually might be a really bad sign now that I think about it.
You find out she's like 16 working at Starbucks. I saved up all my money. He's the love of my life.
One of the other interesting posts that I saw, this is turning into a Reddit topic, but one of the other interesting, there's a lot of good stuff on there, it turns out. Some guy, he had an SLI with GTX 970, so he had two graphics cards for the uninitiated in his desktop setup, and he actually, I think he had like 16 gigs of RAM. He had a lower, like a mid-range I think it was an i7 47 something, but he was able to run the Vive and the Rift at the same time, not experiencing like bad frame rate drops from his computer, which I thought was ridiculously impressive. because these are both like really high, you know, intense, demanding platforms. So that's cool.
A good sign.
Yeah. So now I'm going to buy two of them. So now everybody can play. No, but it, you know, it's exciting. Hopefully, God willing, I'll get it next week and then we can try it before Sean leaves on his trip. He's got to experience, you know, the CV1. So anyway, I'm excited still. This hasn't dented my enthusiasm. I'm not, no pitchforks. I'm still friends with Palmer. It's all right.
You're going to return your Oculus once you get it. No, I waited 2 weeks.
So yeah, that'll do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes and Stitcher. Check us out on YouTube by searching for The Comatist, where you can find a lot of good content from us, which we have to do another D&D session. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
Share us with your friends. You can leave comments, submit questions to and topics to us directly by going to theunwind.audio. Also, go to the Comatist website and check out our other great podcasts. We got Roll to Hit, which is Dungeons & Dragons, Sky on Fire, which is another role-playing game based in the Star Wars universe. We have Bearded Vegans about veganism from guys with beards. Crazy.
Well, that's a great name.
Kiss the Crest about soccer, which is heating up. We're getting to the end of the season.
And it has stuff. Nothing to do with making out with the moon, but...
Correct. Thank you for that clarification. A lot of great shows. Check it out, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, I also shrink and decapitate the heads of people and animals I really care about so they can be mounted on some jewelry.
This is what Josie Goat said he was doing a few minutes ago. Wake up and play MPQ. I can stop anytime.